So if you remember the last thing that we were discussing was, excuse me, these discussions about how you can add extra malchus, right? Right, how can you add extra malchus to cases of somebody eating an ola outside the walls of Yerushalayim? So maybe a zar, or we discussed why those were not applicable, right? Okay, so go to the fourth line on Yud Chesam Beis. Veliki nami ki idach de Rabbi Eliezer. Maybe he might get malchus for a different aga, for a different din that Rabbi Eliezer articulated. The sanya, as we have in a bright Rabbi Eliezer Amir, kol shu bichalil tiye litein loisase al achilasoi. So Rabbi Eliezer says, any case where the pasuk says about a korban kalil tiye, meaning it will be completely burnt, that means that there is a loisas, that there is a love on eating any of it, because that would mean that it's, you know, not completely burnt. Right? In achinami, yeah, exactly, that makes sense. Verava mehaikra deka amar amarav gidla amarav kohen sha'achal meichatas ve'asham lefnei zrika loike. My timer. Okay, so, and Rava. And Rava said a different deal based on this pasuk. Says he said in the name of Amarav Gidla Amarav. He said, sorry, Varava said brought this din from that pasuk, right? This din that is also to eat an oila under any circumstances from that pasuk, from Klil Tiye, right? So Rav Gidl said in the name of Rav, a Kohen, remember the discussion was how can you get malchus? Rava said based on Rabbi Shimon that you could get malchus for eating, and that you could get five malchus for eating an oila outside of Yerushalayim. The question was, how is that possible? So based on this pasuk, right? Rava was taking this pasuk into account, and that's how it makes sense. Okay. Rav Gidl said in the name of Rav, a Kohen who ate a Khatas or an Ashan lifnei zrika before the blood was thrown, loike, he gets Malchus. My timer, remember, Kohanim are allowed to eat a Khatas or an Ashan, but they're not allowed to eat it before the throwing of the blood. Right, my timer, what's the reason for us? Damar Kra, as the Pasuk said, Ve'achloi samasher kupar vahem le'achar kapara in lifnei kapara loi. So the reason why is the pasuk says that they will eat them after the kapara has been done, right? So after kapara they can eat. Before the kapara they cannot eat. The ikar of the kapara is the throwing of blood, right? Therefore, that is therefore it's also to eat beforehand. Right? What's the problem? It says lava bami kalase, lavu. So the Gemara says, based on this, that any love which comes from a positive statement in the Torah, meaning any implied prohibition based on a positive statement in the Torah, will still be considered a love. Right? So here, the statement in the Torah said they will eat it after the blood was thrown. From that, we're inferring that it's prohibited to eat it even before the blood was thrown. Right? We're saying that would have the status of a regular love.
Which means you get malchus.
Yes, exactly. Massive Rava. Rava responds, Achol behema mafreses parasav shesa shesa shtei parases maile geira bevehema oisata echeilu vein behema acheres teichelu. So Rava responds, he brings a different pasuk and a completely different din. Any behema which has mafreses parasa, which has a cloven hoof, right? Veshesa shesa, and Truth is card, yes. And truth is card.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, clever hoof. That's what I said. I'm sorry?
I thought you meant as in like a folly clover.
Is there an animal that has a hoof like that?
No, that's it. I don't know. It's like a defect or something.
Oh, no, a cloven hoof.
Okay,
like cloven as in split. It means the same thing. Right. So if you get that, right? So it says shtei prasos male geira behema. So anytime there are two toes, basically, right, a split hoof, and male geira, and they chew their cud behema, that in a behema, oh, you start to eat, you can eat that,
it.
It's not a chayla vein behema, it's a chayla vein. You can eat that behema, but you can't eat a different behema. So what's a good example of a different behema? I don't know, a horse.
Right?
No, so in other words, I'm just saying. Right?
Another question? Because if you can deduce from the positive that you're not allowed to do the negative.
Oh, so we haven't gone to the end of the question yet. But yeah, we are in the middle of the question. The Igadah Amaras, and if it were to be like you said, that a love above me called Asay is an Asay, that a love derived from a positive statement is in fact a regular love, and you get Malkus. Why does the pasuk need to say the words as zelo teichelu? We would understand. I can eat this, so I can't eat something else.
Sorry, can I just get something? When we say doing the opposite, as when you say there's a positive mitzvah and you don't do it, is it talking about passively not doing it or actively getting up and doing the opposite? Which one's considered the negative?
I mean, would be contextual, right? In the case of eating meat, there's no love on not eating meat, right? There's just a love on eating the wrong meat. I understand that South Africans believe to the contrary. So do Australians, but still.
I'm trying to think of an example.
But sometimes in Hinami it could be passive.
So even if you just don't do it, you'd get macros.
Oh no, we say what. With the three, except for the three exceptions that we discussed already, you don't get malchus for a love shame by maisa, for a different reason. Not because it's not prohibited, just because you don't get malchus for a love that doesn't involve a maisa. Okay. If you were to say a love above mikalas is an asa, if you wanted to say a prohibition which is derived from a positive statement is in fact a regular love and you get malchus, right? Hachi ismar, this is how you should say it. Amar Rav Gidl, Amar Rav, Rav Gidl said Rav, Zar she'achal meichatas ve'asham lefnei zrika potter, ma'itayim ad amar akra ve'ach lo'ay sama sher kupar bahem, choleichat karinan bay, ve'ach lo'ay sama sher kupar bahem, karinan bay, ve'zar le yoichal kodesh. Choleichat le'y karinan bay, ve'ach lo'ay sama sher kupar bahem, le'y karinan bay, ve'zar le yoichal. So rather, you should say that this is what Rav Gidl Amar Rav said, right? A zar, not a kohen, a zar who ate from the meat of a chatas or an asham, right, before zrika, not after zrika, before zrika, is potter. Why? Because, right, any time we say v'achloi samash korbarahem, any time you say that it's permitted to eat after the kapara, you will also say the prohibition of a zar le'yochal, that a zar can't eat it. But if there's no heter, if there's not permitted for a kohen to eat it after the kapara, after the zrikas adam, then it also, there's no love on a zar eating it at all. Meaning, what does that mean? It doesn't mean it's permitted, but it means there's no malchus. Right, that specific prohibition was not said in that case. Right, the specific prohibition which leads to malchus of a zar eating kodshim only applies in a case where a kohen is mutter to eat it.
You can't learn
a yeah, no punishments via kal v'chomer, exactly. So therefore, the case you can't learn a kal v'chomer to any case, I assume is what you meant, any case where nobody can eat it at all.
Yeah.
Right, okay. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi... Everybody understood that before I continue? Okay, good. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yeshaya, Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Rabbi Yeshaya, Bikurim hanacha me'akeves behem kriya ein me'akeves behem. Well, we're getting back to the discussion that we had previously on the Mishnah, right? Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Rabbi Yeshaya, when it comes to Bikurim, the placement of the Bikurim in front of the Kohen, right, is me'akev, right? It prevents you from fulfilling the mitzvah. But reading the parasha, remember there's a whole parasha of Arami Yoved Avi that we'll see, that we'll read soon in the Pesach Seder, right? So the parasha of Arami Yoved Avi, that's not Ma'akev. If you don't read it, it doesn't prevent the Bediyevet, it doesn't prevent the mitzvah from being fulfilled. Okay? Umi Amar Rabbi Elazar Hachi, is it really true that Rabbi Elazar said this? Ask the Gemara. Deha Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Yoshai, Kifrish Bikurim, Koyim Lachag, Ve'avar Alein Achag, Yirkavu. Rabbi Elazar said, so we have a statement of Rabbi Elazar and they are Rabbi Yeshaya, that if you were to be mafresh bechurim, if you were to set aside, remember that when you're before you harvest the fruits, before you ever even take them off the ground, right, you need to set aside bechurim. So when you set aside your bechurim, right, if you set aside your bechurim and then you didn't bring them to your shalim before sukkahs, the word chag on its own in Gemara always means sukkahs, right? So if you didn't bring them to your shalim before sukkahs, then you should let them rot. So the Gemara asks, "My lab mishum de loy matzil in mikri aleir? Isn't it because you can't say read the parsha of Arami Oved Avi on these bikurim anymore? Isn't that the reason why you would lead them to rot? Right? That's the question the Gemara asked." Okay? Meaning that there is a halacha that if you bring your Bikurim before Sukkot, you read the parasha, and if you bring those, and everybody agrees that if you bring the Bikurim after Sukkot, you just bring them, but you don't read the parasha after Sukkot. If you bring them between Shavuos and Sukkot, you read the parasha.
Okay.
After Sukkot, you could bring them, you don't read the parasha until Chanukah. That's the halacha.
Okay.
Check me on that.
No.
Okay, so fine. So we say maybe Rabbi Elazar thinks that you should let them rot after Sukkot because you can't read the parasha anymore. So it's preferable to let them rot than to bring them to your shlayim. Right? That seems to be the implication. And if you were to say that Kriya is not Ma'akiv, that if you didn't read the parasha but the Yevet, that's okay, you fulfill the mitzvah, why wouldn't you just bring them without reading? It's still better to bring them, right? That's the basic Gemara's question. Kidur Rabbi Zeira. This is like Rabbi Zeira's opinion. Da Amar Rabbi Zeira. Chola roi labila in bila me'akeves bai. Vechola ishe eino roi labila. Ein bila me'akeves bai. Okay, so this is a very, very, very famous rule all through Shas. Right, that was just reference. This is like a statement that Rabbi Zeira said about Menachas. Bila is the process of mixing together the oil and the flour in Menachas. Now, what happens if you have either too much oil or too much flour? And it can't be mixed together properly. Sorry? The mincha is no good. So we have a halacha. If it is possible to mix the oil and flour properly, even if you didn't, bediyeved you would be yotzei. But if it is simply impossible. The mincha is too big because you always use the same quantity of oil. So if there's too much flour to mix into the oil, right, and it's simply impossible to mix it properly, then the mincha is not kosher. Even though it ordinarily, if you didn't mix them, bediyeved it would be okay. Right, so it's similar here. In a case where it's possible to read the parasha, even if you didn't, it's not ma'akei. Right? But in a case where it's impossible to read the parasha, it's after Sukkot, and you can no longer read the parasha after Sukkot, right? Then already, it's also impossible to bring Bikurim. Because you can't, it's simply impossible in such a circumstance to fulfill the mitzvah as it should be fulfilled. Okay? Rabbi Acha bar Yaakov Masni la kede Rabbi Asi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Acha, the son of Rabbi Yaakov, said this was actually similar to a statement of Rabbi Asi in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. The statement of Rabbi Elazar said in the name of Rabbi Yeshaya, he said as Rabbi Asi said it in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Same statement, just a different attribution. The Kashalei Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yochanan. This led him to a contradiction within the statements of Rabbi Yochanan, and meaning this statement of Rabbi Yeshaya, right? That if you, that of Rabbi Elazar, I'm a Rabbi Elazar, I'm a Rabbi Yeshaya, that if you, that you cannot bring Bikurim after Sukkot, it's better to let them rot. Right? This contradicted a different statement of Rabbi Yochanan, so he had a problem. Right? Rabbi Yochanan Bikurim Bahen. Kriya in Bahen. Is it really true that Rabbi Yochanan thinks that the most important part of the mitzvah of Bikurim is the Hanacha, and Kriya is not important? Right? Is it true that Rabbi Yochanan didn't think that reading a parsha was that important? Rabbi Yochanan Bikurim Mutar So, we have a statement that Rabbi Asi asked Rabbi Yochanan, when is it mutter for Kohanim to eat Bikurim? They said it's mutter to eat Kohanim to be Bikurim from the time, if it is something that you should read, you would ordinarily read the parasha on, then from the time that it can be read. And if it's not something which you can read the parasha on, then Mishi Yerol Pnei Abayis, from when it can be brought to the house. Meaning, if it was before, between Shavuos and Sukkot, and you can read the parasha, you can read Arami Yoved Avi on them, then the Kohanim are allowed to eat it from the time the parasha is read. If it's not before Sukkot, then it's mutter from the Kohanim to eat it from the second that they brought to the Beis HaMikdash. right? Kasha, Kriya, Kriya, Kasha, Anacha, Anacha. There are two contradictions here. There's a Kasha with regard to the Kriya. It sounds like the Kriya, the reading of the Parashah, is Ma'akev, because if not, then why wouldn't the Kohanim be able to eat it from the second it came to the Beis HaMikdash? Right, and there's a second Kasha, Anacha, Anacha, right? It sounds like the Hanacha is sufficient from the second half of Rabbi Yochanan's statement. It sounds like just placing them in the Beis HaMikdash in front of the Kohen is sufficient, right? Whereas from the we just said whereas we said you should not do that, right? We should not, you should not bring it afterwards, right? I think that's part of the Gemara. Yes, Kriya Kriya Leikashi Harabi Shimon Harabanan. So the Kriya, the question of whether the Kriya is Ma'akev is not really a Kashya, right? It's not a problem. Rabbi Yochanan was saying different statements at different times based on different Tanaim. In one case, he was explaining the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, right? We said Rabbi Shimon says the Kriya is Ma'akev, reading the parish is Ma'akev. Remember, we said that on Thursday, right? I think it was on Thursday or Friday, whatever, whenever it was, right? And when he said that the Kriya is not Ma'akev, the Kriya is not critical, that was according to the opinion of Chacham, and that Hanacha is the main part of the mitzvah. Hanacha, Hanacha, Nami Lekashen, the problems with Hanacha, not a problem. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, ha, Rabbanon. One of them is according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and one of them is according to the opinion of Rabbanon. We haven't heard it yet, so it's about to explain it. My Rabbi Yehuda, which opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is it talking about? The Sanyas we have in a Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, the Hanacha Soi Zu Tnufa. Right? The Hanacha. When the Gemara says placing, or the Pasuk talks about placing down the Bikurim, it doesn't mean actually placing it on the ground, it means the Tnufa. It means when the Kohen puts his hand under your hand, you put your hand on the Bikurim, the Kohen puts his hand under your hand, and then you lift it up and down and to the four directions, the north, south, east, and west. Right? The same motion as we do on Sukkot with a lulav. Right? So when that's called the Hanacha. The reason why it's called the Hanacha is because from the word manche, to lead it to in different directions. Right? So that's really Hanacha say zutnufa. Atamara zutnufa. I know ela Hanacha mamish. Maybe, how do you know it's the tnufa? How do you know it's this gesture? Maybe it's really just placing it there on the ground. Kshu oimer v'nichay are Hanacha amur. Amani makayem ve'inachta zut nufa. Right? When it says ve'inichai, it clearly means to place on the ground. So when it says ve'inachtoi, what does it mean? It can't mean to place on the ground again. Right? It must mean the tnufa. Now, why does this help? Why does this help? When do we do the tnufa with Bikurim? Sorry? Why is it? Why does this help us? When is Tnufa? Oh, but it's no, it's after the Kriya Parsha. Never mind. Rashi explained the Gemara differently, so I'll explain it according to Rashi. I think I'm pretty sure that what I said is something people say. Seder will say it according to Rashi, right? So the reason why, right? Hanachto is the zut nufa, right? What does that mean? If Rabbi Yehuda holds that han vehenichoi means to place on the ground, and hanachto means to do a tnufa, right? Then what does Rabbanan, who don't say you should do a tnufa, what do they do vehenachto? Means to be ma'akev. You repeated that you need to place on the ground. Now, why would you repeat doing the same thing twice? It must mean that you're saying that's the really important bit. That's the critical bit. Right? Therefore, Rabbanan are the ones who would say that you should bring the Bikurim even after Sukkot and just not read the Parsha. Right? Because the placing on the ground is the Iker. One time the Palagali to Rabbi Yehuda, and who's the person who disagreed with this statement of Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, it's really Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. The San Yerayra Dvela Kacha Goin Atena Miyadecha Limida La Bikurim Shete Unin Tnufa. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. So, when the Pasuk says Dvela Kacha Goin Atena Miyadecha, the poet should take the basket from your hand, that taught us that the Bikurim required Tnufa, the suggestion that I just mentioned. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. my time at the Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaak, and therefore v'hinachtoi doesn't mean it's nufa, so it means that the hanacha is what's ma'akev and not the kriya. Yeah? You understand, or do I need to repeat it? We have a number of words, right? We have v'hinichtoi. Firstly, there's a kriya's parsha, right? You're meant to... you're meant to read the parsha of Arami Oved Avi, right? You're also meant to place the bikurim in front of the kohen. That's explicit in the pasuk. Now that's mentioned twice. Rabbi Yehuda says the reason why you mention it twice is to teach us a din that you do a tenufa. The hinachtoi doesn't really mean placing on the ground again. It means doing the tenufa. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says we learn a tenufa from a different pasuk. Right? Therefore, we have the hinachtoi to teach us that the hanacha is ma'akev, it's the most important part, because otherwise why would the Torah repeat the same halacha twice? Yes, that's the opinion of Rabbanan.
You're being lazy, let's go. Give me an answer.
My time is the Rav Yehuda. What's the reason that he says this? Yad yad mishlam teviena Es isha Hashem. Ma kan kohen af lalam kol malalam bailim af kan bailim.
No, okay. That's
so he learned a zera shava from what's this called? Shalom. Right. He learned the zera shava from Shalom. The word yad appears with regard to velakacha kohen akenem yadecha. Right. The word yad appears in that pasuk, and the word yad also appears with regard to Shalom. What's the pasuk? Yadav teviyena etishay Hashem etzachidev alachazel yeviyenu alachazel laanif oisay tenufa lefnei Hashem. Right. So the pasuk regarding Shlomim specifically mentions a tenufa. Right. It specifically mentions this gesture that I just described. Right. So and we learn in Zer Shava just like you need a tenufa in Shlomim, you need a tenufa also in Bikurim.
But didn't we just say Rabbi Eliezer, you
don't
need a
tenufa? No, it's not ma'akev.
Nice try.
It won't be ma'akev, right? It's because he learns it from a completely different pasuk.
Right? So his opinion's different to the Rabbanan.
No, I think his opinion's like Gemara saying the opinion, his opinion is the same as Rabbanan.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, he frees up the pasuk of Vehinachtoi to say that Hanacha is ma'akev, that placing it on the ground is ma'akev.
I thought the Rabbanan don't hold that this.
No, I think the Gemara is implying that Chacham hold like Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. I think so. Did I say Chacham don't hold this tough?
No. I just thought that because when you told us that the Rabbanan's opinion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That they hold by Tzufa.
My apologies. Okay. Steve. Sorry. Fine. Just as with the Kohen, the Tnufa of the Shlomim, the Kohen has to be there, so too the Tnufa of the Bikurim, the Kohen's hands have to be there. And just as with the Tnufa of the Bikurim, of the Shlomim, the Bailim's hands, right? The people who actually own the Korban, their hands have to be there, so too with the Tnufa of the Bikurim, the person who actually owns it, his hands have to be there. How can this be done? So the Kohen puts his hands underneath the hands of the Bailim, and then they do it together. They move the Korban or the Bikurim around together. Thank you. I'm in the middle of the church, by the way. Okay, this is a good place to stop, so...